south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, now here's an email about something we almost never talk about, and this is from Patrick. He says, hey, Johnny, and I'll paraphrase this a bit to streamline it. Just came back from Puerto Rico, and one thing I learned there was that for those not yet committed to being an expat or just getting started, it's a great launching point. Turns out, Puerto Rico is perfect for a Spanish language immersion experience. Now, to my surprise, many there are bilingual and use English to correct your bad Spanish. For example, I ordered uno más agua, which means one more bottle or glass of water, and the bartender explained in English that I should place the object prior to the verb and actually say it as una agua más. I found instances like this are commonplace and really help the learning process. Anyway, Puerto Rico, from certain locales on the mainland, USA, it's a good quick last-minute escape to guaranteed warmth, even when the weather in South Florida is questionable. As for everything else in Puerto Rico, the entire island, approximately the size of Connecticut, is definitely on the tourist trail. So it's just as pricey as in the States. Not to mention, most taxi drivers there are out to rip you off. I also found out that practically everyone there has some family living all over the mainland USA, even Alaska. And regarding crime, just like everywhere else, it depends on where you are. And the locals will tell you that public housing is where the real crime problems are. Surprise, surprise. I did have a woman who clearly looked to be in her late 60s, early 70s, try to sell me drugs, and that never happened to me in Central America, like in Guatemala or Costa Rica. Anyway, it feels like a U.S. state, really, with one exception. They don't pay federal taxes. And Big Pharma, not rum, is the number two industry due to all the tax breaks you get when you move a business down there. I met an accountant, as a matter of fact, commuting to and from Puerto Rico regularly, helping clients relocate for the same reason, the tax breaks. But, you know, after reading just a little bit of information on the internet, it seems to me that these long-term tax breaks in Puerto Rico might fizzle out for individuals for various reasons, including possible future statehood. You know, state number 51. Well, I could go on a bit more here, but anyway, well wishes, Patrick. Well, thanks for that, Patrick. And by the way, he was one of our Expat Wisdom seminar attendees a while back. And I see he's doing the right thing by getting his boots on the ground again in Latin America. And of course, Puerto Rico is technically Latin America, but again, it's a U.S. territory. Or as they like to say, a U.S. Commonwealth. Now, people often wonder why there are so many Puerto Ricans on the U.S. mainland, or as Latins say, Puerto Ricanos. And by the way, you really know you're getting your Spanish down when you can roll those R's, as in Puerto Rico. Go ahead, try saying that three times without twisting your tongue around your uvula. And by the way, while I'm at it, how many of you out there know what your uvula is? Anyway, you could say Puerto Rico is kind of a U.S. version of a third world Latin island tourist trap. So even though it's considered part of the U.S., a commonwealth of the U.S., like I said, they don't necessarily have to follow, nor do they follow all the stateside laws. For example, almost all salaries in Puerto Rico are about half of those in the United States, whether it's a job flipping burgers at McDonald's or an accountant job or an emergency room trauma surgeon. Now, you can gauge that by the minimum wage there, which is $4.10 an hour, while in the States, it's $7.25, soon to be raised to around $10 or so by your illustrious Nobel Prize-winning President Obama. He's your president, not mine. So it's understandable, if Puerto Ricans only make about half of what you can make up in the States, a lot of them go to the mainland regularly because they do not need a visa. That's one group of Latins that doesn't have to slip into the States illegally. It's not necessary. They have a perfect right to walk right in without a visa. Nor do they have to apply for a green card or anything like that. That's why so many millions of them are up in the States, looking for a better standard of living. And as far as my recommendations for you listeners who might want to become expats in Puerto Rico, well, remember, it is a Latin American enclave, but you're still on U.S. territory, meaning you're under the thumb of U.S. Big Brother, Latin style, and all the frivolous rules and legislation that you have up in Cleveland. However, lately there have been a flurry of articles, a lot of them coming from expat publications like Sovereign Man and from the Doug Casey organization specifically, touting Puerto Rico as a great place to live, work, play, and or retire. Again, having to do with what Patrick said in his email. He said there were no federal taxes, which isn't exactly correct, but pretty close. In fact, since Puerto Rico is a U.S. Commonwealth, it's part of the U.S., but in some ways still independent, so its tax system is also kind of a hybrid, a mix of their Latin tax system and the U.S. tax system, which would certainly seem like a recipe for disaster or certain chaos. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, as it stands now, if you can really move yourself and your business to Puerto Rico, you can cut your income taxes down to almost nothing. Now, note, just in the last maybe 6 months, there have been some great little articles and news blurbs coming out of Puerto Rico trying to get American mainland people and investors to come down to Puerto Rico for those tax breaks. Why? Since technically, Puerto Rico is insolvent and virtually bankrupt. What else is new? Like they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So in the end, there really are great tax incentives by which Puerto Rico hopes to lure stateside Americans and their businesses. They figure Puerto Rico is the place to go instead of overtaxed, overregulated, disgruntled Americans leaving permanently for other Latin American low-tax, low-government destinations like Peru, Bolivia, Ecuador, Honduras, Nicaragua, etc. Now, you must know already that the floodgates have opened for first world people to come down to low tax destinations like down here in Latin America. In fact, you may have heard that at least 10 million Americans have expatriated already. And why not? Up in the first world, they're under the thumb of Big Brother and the surveillance state, as well as the fact that as long as they live up there, they pay more than 50% of their income to finance all that ridiculous crap. Now, I'm going to stop a minute here and say, no emails, please, about telling me how you're in a 22% tax bracket or 29% or whatever. I'm talking about the fact that working people in America pay more than 50% in taxes and fees and licenses, etc. And to back it up, I have a nice report and a list of 100 or so of those items that contribute to that 50% or more tax bracket that you're in, whether you know it or not. So if you have any doubts, send me an email and I'll ship off that list to you. But back to the point. Just what are those tax incentives in Puerto Rico? Now, if you talk to a tax guy or an accountant that knows anything about Puerto Rico, he'll tell you that the income tax is only 4%. Now, compare that to your combined federal and state income tax burden in, let's say, California. That means if you move to Puerto Rico, you can legally avoid the 39.6% federal rate and the 13.3% California state tax and only pay 4%. How great does that sound? And it gets better. There's zero tax on dividends, too. Which means if you're getting distributions of company profits or have investments yielding dividends somewhere, they're tax-free. There's also no capital gain taxes in Puerto Rico. Meaning, if you sell your company, real estate, or you're selling shares in public companies, you name it, no capital gain tax at all. So like I said, you get those breaks if you move to Puerto Rico. However, you actually have to move there. You can't just buy a vacation home there and hang out a couple of weeks a year. You have to sever all your ties with the mainland. For example, you gotta quit your local clubs and the church, stop the Zumba classes, quit the little theater and the knitting nook, sell your house, etc. Pretty much sever all your stateside ties. Or the IRS will think you're moving to Puerto Rico to avoid U.S. taxes, which you are, right? Duh. So the rule is you have to reside in Puerto Rico at least 183 days a year. And now the weird part. You have to actually sign an application with the tax authority in Puerto Rico, which becomes a binding contract with you in the Commonwealth. And among other things, it promises in that contract that you will become a resident, permanent resident, of Puerto Rico by December 31st, 2035. And why they want you to sign a contract promising that? And why they picked the date 2035? Well, no one seems to know. But remember, Puerto Rico is Latin America. Kinda. So then you might ask, what's so special about Puerto Rico? Why would individuals and businesses move to Puerto Rico when they could get the same or even better tax breaks moving to any of a number of other Latin American countries like Bolivia, Peru, Guatemala, Nicaragua, whatever? Because, you know, if you move to a real bona fide Latin American country, not a U.S. Commonwealth like Puerto Rico, you can completely cut yourself off from the influence of the big brother U.S. state. Which, by the way, to me is infinitely preferable to being a resident of a place that's nothing more than a Latin appendage of Uncle Sam. It's like this. There's two big reasons why people in some businesses up in the States like the idea of moving to Puerto Rico. For one, you retain your U.S. passport and U.S. citizenship. Which, believe me, these days, in the wake of what's happening worldwide, in the light of U.S. interference, imperialism, and military intervention, believe me, having a U.S. passport and U.S. citizenship sure ain't what it used to be. The fact is, you know, if you happen to be on a plane or a boat and terrorists somehow manage to take over, who do you think's the first one they're going to chuck out of the plane or toss in the drink? The Canadian, of course. I know, to a lot of stateside folks, being American still is a big thing and there's the delusion of patriotism and all that. And I know, often the thought of getting another passport or another citizenship in a country like, let's say, Uruguay, smacks of being a very unpatriotic gesture and kind of a finger in the face of Uncle Sam. So you've got that patriotism angle, which is one reason why so many mainland Americans are thinking about Puerto Rico. It's basically still the U.S., so there's no abandonment stigma attached to moving there. Now, you can agree or disagree about that logic, though almost all long-term expats I know think it's much more advisable to completely cut the cord with Uncle Sam. Now, as for the second reason so many people are considering Puerto Rico, it's the fact that you only have to be in Puerto Rico 183 days a year to qualify for residency and those tax breaks. So the other half of the year, by the way, that's exactly a half a year, you can do all those things that you just can't do in Latin America, like go back to Milwaukee or Cleveland, hang with the grandkids, play the slots at the reservation casino, and line dance at the local country bar. Sorry to say, folks, but that kind of first world excitement just doesn't exist down here. Not yet. So anyway, how does that half year residency requirement, 183 days, compare with the residency requirements if you move to another Latin American country like Honduras? Well, according to U.S. tax law, for you to qualify for the foreign earned income tax break, which for 2015 means you can exclude $100,800 from foreign earned income, in other words, pay no U.S. federal income or state taxes on that amount. Anyway, to get that huge income tax exemption, you have to be living in a foreign country or countries for at least 330 days a year. And that's the kicker. Which means you've only got a month then to go up to Cleveland or Dallas and hang out at the country western clubs or the bingo parlors. The fact that you're only allowed to come back to the States approximately 30 days a year sometimes is a heavy personal and psychological burden. At first, anyway. But as expat Eddie has said so many times when asked that question himself, a lot of those relatives and so-called friends up north, you realize later, were energy suckers and time vampires that you're better off without. So by all means, if you feel you must, Skype with them. At least it's not on your dime. Oh, and one more thing to remember about Puerto Rico. There's always been a pretty large contingent of citizens there who are vying for U.S. statehood. In fact, over the years, they've had numerous votes and referendums on it, but it's never passed so far. But if it does, there goes all those tax breaks everyone's been counting on. So then, what's my take on all this Puerto Rican stuff? Well, I'd never want to go there. It's overrun by tourists. Besides that, it's first world expensive, kind of like Costa Rica. So it's not very high on my list anyway. Though, like Costa Rica or Cancun, if you can get a nice package deal for a weekend or more, it's a great place to have a quick vacation. Okay, speaking of emails, just got another email from my friend Oscar, one of my expat wisdom friends who came down to one of my earlier seminars. And speaking of seminars, if you're interested in coming to one in June or July, send me an email at theexpatfiles@gmail.com or johnny@expatwisdom.com. And I'll put you on the early bird mailing list. So anyway, I was talking about Oscar. He just sent me an article and a link that supports what I've been saying in a show a couple of weeks ago about how Brazil, through its massive deforestation efforts, has permanently damaged its ecosystem and its climate. The title of this article on the link from Natural News is 2014 rainfall levels lowest in Brazil's recorded history. Carnival being canceled in many cities. Now, I don't know how many of you listeners out there have been to Brazil, but you know, carnival is the number one activity for the entire year. And because of all the scantily clad women, it's even more popular than football. So for some Brazilian cities to announce that they're canceling it due to drought, that's serious. In fact, the mayor of one Brazilian city said the sadness is palpable and he'd rather see them cancel the World Cup. Never in the history of our city has something like this happened before, stated Antonio Penido, chief of staff and president of the Carnival Commission in the city of Oliveira. Quote, "With broken hearts, we made the decision to cancel this year's festivities." Now, see if you get the secondary meaning on this that comes from the same report. It says here, the situation in Rio, Brazil's other major metropolitan city, isn't much more optimistic. According to experts, the primary water supply is operating at zero capacity. Meanwhile, agriculture throughout the region is suffering tremendously, including, get this, massive genetically modified, that's GMO, soybean plantations that are experiencing irreversible yield damage. So the bad news, there's no water for the people, but there's good news too. The GMO soybean crops are withering away. And in Sao Paulo, Brazil, the biggest city in all of the Americas, with 20 million people in the metro area, City Council Chairman Gilberto Natalini told reporters, sadly, quote, "I know we are heading for collapse." In fact, he says, rather than to try to celebrate Carnival himself, he plans on, get this, completing his own personal rainwater collection system on his home. You mean to say he'd rather have water than party? Doesn't sound like your typical asswipe politician to me. So you could say the prepper movement has finally arrived in Latin America, first stop Brazil, where some cities are already rationing water to 2 times a week. So all you listeners up there who continuously email me about Brazil, you still want to move there? Anyway, by necessity, some of these Brazilians are becoming preppers. Too little, too late, I know, but that's the state of things. Now, I've mentioned before that oftentimes I'll get invited to parties and I'll even go. And yes, you can often really enjoy middle-class parties. And those upper-middle-class parties, well, they're fun too, simply because later on you can make fun of everybody. Now, at those pretentious upper-class parties, often I'll listen to the pseudo-intellectual BS. And when that gets old and I no longer can bite my tongue, I'll get a little conversation going. Like, for example, pollution, drones, genocide, Putin, the Ukraine situation, fracking, whatever. And when I get blank stares, which I generally do, I'll play a kind of a game by throwing out a few fashionable, current, trendy, first world terms in English, just to see if anyone in the room has more brain cells than spirochetes. Now, just last week, I was at an international travel agency convention, looking for some travel deals myself. Not to mention, I heard at last year's event, they had free food and giveaways. Anyway, it was at a big international first world chain hotel in El Salvador, and I'm telling you, there must have been 2,000 people at this event, with 100 different travel agency booths and kiosks set up on the main floor. And the first thing I noticed, once again, was I was practically the only gringo there. In fact, I was also probably the tallest person there. At 6 foot, that doesn't say much, but being the only tall gringo in the room, I did get some stares, especially from the little kids. Anyway, as usual, there were pretentious jerks walking around with their bodyguards, and even some people walking around with a couple of kids in tow, each kid being tended to by his own nanny or maid. And how do you know that? Well, because they're dressed in typical degrading maid's outfits. And believe me, it's hard not to stare. And another observation here. Nearly everyone in the whole place, except for the workers, of course, who had smocks with travel agency logos on them. Anyway, about 80 or 90% of all the hundreds of other people filing through had a t-shirt or a sweater on of some kind, some item of clothing, with English words and phrases and logos and writing on them. Because like I've said so many times, to Latins is a coolness factor to anything first world gringo and therefore anything in English, even if they don't understand what the lettering says, which is the case about 95% of the time. So anyway, I was sitting down at one of those travel agency booths, checking out some trips myself. One of the guys sitting next to me actually had a jacket on that said, get this, Dr. Prepper. And then the lettering on the back of the jacket said, to be alive, first survive. And then it had the address and phone of the place. I think it was in L.A. So sitting next to me, I turned and said to him, so you're a prepper, huh? And he just kind of nodded and smiled. And I said, well, you're prepping for anything particular? In Spanish, of course. And to make a long story short, I found out this guy had a business administration degree, so apparently he wasn't an idiot. But then again, maybe he was. Because all the while he had that jacket, he thought it was for the cola Dr. Pepper. And then by hook and crook, I found out prepping is pretty much a completely unknown phenomena down here, so there's no Spanish word for it. Oh, and by the way, one more thing about that travel agent convention. Now, they had different sections for different types of travel. One for cruises, one for trips to Europe, trips to the States, South America, Australia, China, etc., etc. And along with that, they had big screen TVs everywhere, posting the latest offer or deal of the hour. Which was the real reason why I was there. Because I heard last year when they had this event, a gringo friend of mine got a 2-for-1 deal on a 2-week cruise to the tip of South America. Just by hanging around and watching the big screen TVs when those deals popped up. Anyway, this you won't believe. Well, maybe you will. One of the travel agent ladies there told me that by far the biggest selling trips at these conventions are trips to Orlando and Disney World. Oh, what fun. Duh. And the second biggest selling trip? A Disney cruise. I mean, come on, does that not strike you as the gringo advantage on steroids? But here's the thing. Since most Latins, about 98% of them, could never qualify to get a visa to go to the U.S., one of the big reasons why these travel agents are able to sell so many trips to Disneyland and so many Disney cruises is because, along with the package deal they sell you, they arrange to get you that temporary visa so you can trot on U.S. territory, legally. Then, when I asked the travel agent lady, well then, how many people do you lose? How many just skip out and become illegals? And she said, oh no, we don't lose any of them because they always pay with credit cards. So they're pre-qualified by the credit card company that they have a decent job, a bank account, a car, and maybe even a house. So there's no risk of flight there. In fact, the whole travel agency slash tourism convention was sponsored by a credit card company called Credomatic. It's Visa and MasterCard and a Colombian bank called BAC. And in fact, the general promotion that day was if you use a Credomatic card, you get 10% off any deal you cook up with a travel agency. If you didn't have a credit card, you'd fill out the applications and get pre-qualified there. Maybe. In the end, all it was a promotion for you to get a credit card and buy a trip, and in the process get reamed a new anus with the interest payments. Because, like the lady in the kiosk told me, the average person paid for their trip in 12 separate payments over 12 months. Now, if you do the numbers, you'll find out they're paying more than 60% interest over that year. Some deal, huh? They get sucked into a 10% off deal with a credit card, and they pay 50% or more to get that deal. Now remember, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there signing up for different kinds of package travel deals. And when I asked one of the ladies at the kiosk how many people pay for their trips with cash, and she said, well, nobody that I know of so far anyway. Everybody pays with a credit card. And then I said, you do accept cash, don't you? Stupid question, huh? And she said, of course. But people normally don't have that kind of money. So then, as it turned out, right then and there, I had a future glimpse of the downfall of Latin middle class and upper middle class society. Credit cards. I should have known. Everywhere you go down here, you see people pay for a buck and a half cup of coffee with a credit card. They even use their credit card for a $2 parking fee. And you know, I'll never forget what expat Eddie once said. Having a credit card is like having a boat. The very first day you get it, it's both the best and the worst day of your life. Oh, and by the way, when I said so many people at that event were wearing t-shirts and sweaters and coats with English sayings on them, the best one I saw was a kid who had a sweatshirt on that said, Better be nice to America, or we'll bring democracy to your country, too. And you know, every time he walked by, I couldn't stop looking at it, because I want one of those. And of course, this Latin kid, a college kid, was clueless as to the double meaning behind that one, obviously. So anyway, to the casual observer to this travel agent convention, if you spoke Spanish anyway, you had to come to the conclusion that any Latin who's got any kind of money at all or could qualify for a credit card has this overwhelming desire to go to Disney World or take a Disney cruise. And that Disney pipe dream permeates all levels of Latin society. Fact is, it seems even the poorest little Latin kids know all about Disney, and they've seen The Lion King and the classics like Cinderella and Dumbo and Pinocchio, etc., etc. I'm talking about the buck a CD pirated versions, of course. To Latin people, that once-in-a-lifetime trip to Disney World or Disneyland is like that once-in-a-lifetime Muslim trip to Mecca, and I'm not kidding you. In fact, I can't tell you how many middle-class Latin people I've spoken to who said if they could see three things before they died, first, the Pope and the Vatican, second, would be a trip to Disneyland or Disney World, and third, a Shakira or Pitbull concert. Go figure, huh? How'd you do? Did you guess any of those? I doubt it. Okay, so then, what are the three things you want to see before you die? Send me an email on it, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And please don't tell me it's a Pitbull concert or I'll strangle you myself. Anyway, about that Disney obsession that permeates all of Latin America, you really got to hand it to that guy, whoever he was ages ago in the Disney organization. The guy who planted that seed so deep in the mentality of every Latin person. It's got to be one of the greatest subliminal marketing successes of all time. Which is why I think sometimes if the Disney Corporation put a Disneyland or Disney World somewhere in Latin America, that just might go a long, long way to solve the illegal immigration problem to the U.S. Oh, and better yet, recently I received an email from a Florida listener who said if the U.S. government would post some Border Patrol agents at the entrance to Disneyland and Disney World just to check green cards as people walked in, chances are, within a month's time, there wouldn't be enough buses or airplanes in the world to deport all the people they snagged. Well, I don't know about that, but it is an interesting thought experiment now, isn't it?
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old